From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Friday, August 31st, 2018. And on this day, an investigation shows two hospitals in Lewiston turning away patients in mental health crisis. And the federal government declares hundreds of seal deaths an unusual mortality event. We'll look at what that means. That's all ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Norway Savings, supporting the colorful vision of Maine's business owners. Live your life in color. NorwaySavings.bank.
Two Lewiston hospitals have undertaken corrective action after the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid found they were turning away mentally ill patients in crisis from their emergency departments without adequate medical screenings or stabilizing treatment. Both hospitals were found to be in violation of a federal law intended to protect patients experiencing medical emergencies. Susan Sharon has our story.
Disability Rights Maine is the nonprofit that has been assigned by the federal government to protect and advocate for people with disabilities, including mental illness, in Maine hospitals. Last spring, DRM became aware that patients were being denied emergency mental health care at Central Maine Medical Center and at St. Mary's Hospital, both in Lewiston. So managing attorney Kevin Vojvodich says the group filed a complaint with the state and with the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS.
And in the cases cited in the complaint, those individuals were either turned away, refused, or law enforcement was called and they were arrested.
Central Maine Medical Center went so far as to notify local law enforcement officials that they should not bring anyone in custody experiencing a mental health crisis, suicidality, or both to its emergency department unless the person was also experiencing some type of physical trauma. Vojvodich says on at least two occasions, patients were sent to jail and continued to experience the same or worsening symptoms for which they sought help in the first place.
The criminalization of mental illness is a huge issue because correctional facilities are not where these individuals should be treated. They should get, you know, assistance in psychiatric facilities or in emergency departments.
Last November, one person who was arrested at St. Mary's and booked into jail was placed on suicide watch as a result of what a mental health representative said was the patient's deteriorating mental stability. The next day, records indicate the same patient was naked in a locked cell, delusional, and screaming that he was dying after falling through four floors.
Jail is obviously not the appropriate place for some of those folks.
Captain Jeff Shute is the administrator for the Androscoggin County Jail, which he says has been seeing an increasing number of people experiencing mental health crises showing up on its doorstep. He says these episodes are what often lead to a person's interaction with police, who are limited in where they can take them for help.
People have come in an obvious crisis and having, you know, breakdowns, you know, not really understanding, you know, what they've done or where they are, but I'm glad to see that it's being addressed and hopefully it can be fixed. It's something we've been dealing with in corrections for many years.
Both hospitals were found to be in violation of the Federal Emergency Medical Treatment and Active Labor Act, which could have jeopardized their Medicare funding. But both have since adopted policies and plans to ensure that mentally ill patients in crisis are not turned away. These include improved training for staff and screening and tracking of patients, as well as a letter sent by CMMC to law enforcement agencies and to emergency responders, clarifying that the hospital will serve all patients who show up in the emergency department. Attorney Kevin Vojvodich says these are good steps.
As far as recognizing that, you know, a person with an emergency psychiatric condition should be treated like someone coming in with another emergency medical condition.
CMMC did not immediately respond to a request for comment for this story. In a written statement, a spokesperson for Covenant Health, which oversees St. Mary's, said the hospital takes the situation very seriously and is, quote, always looking for opportunities to improve our processes and our operation. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
The federal government is declaring the deaths of hundreds of seals off the New England coast this summer to be what is called an unusual mortality event. NOAA's warning the public to stay away from the stranded animals if they encounter them along Maine's beaches. A.J. Higgins has more.
The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration has said that dead seals found in New England have tested positive for avian flu and focine distemper. During a morning teleconference with reporters Friday, NOAA staff biologist Ainsley Smith said nearly 600 seals have been found since July 1st, stranded or washed ashore on northern New England beaches, with the majority of the fatalities in Maine.
So the breakdown by state is Maine 430, New Hampshire 72, Massachusetts 97, for a total of 599 as of this morning. And those are confirmed cases.
NOAA says it will investigate the elevated strandings of harbor and gray seals in the Northeast attributed to disease. The agency says that declaring a marine mammal die-off as an unusual mortality event means the deaths will be prioritized for investigation and response. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
Some are calling the 2018 election the year of the woman. It's fueled by the backlash to President Donald Trump, whose inauguration prompted millions to take to the streets for the Women's March in Washington, D.C. and around the country. And it's been sustained by the Me Too movement that has disrupted the power dynamic in Hollywood, media, politics, and the workplace. Now, a record number of women are running for elected office. But how will all of this energy affect the upcoming election in Maine? Steve Missler takes a look.
The recruiter who visited Amy Volk's home in Scarborough 8 years ago was looking for a Republican candidate to run for a seat in the House of Representatives. The recruiter had a candidate in mind, but it wasn't Volk.
Actually, the target of the recruitment effort was really my husband, you know, which is fairly stereotypical, I think.
Volk says she explained that her husband, Derek, was too busy to run for the legislature, much less serve if he was elected.
This woman who lived in my community and was doing the candidate recruitment said, well, I can't believe I can't find a candidate in my own backyard. And she said, I'm really asking everybody. And I jokingly said, well, you haven't asked me.
Volk is now the assistant majority leader in the Maine Senate. And depending on how Republicans perform this November, she could become the fourth woman president of the chamber in its nearly 200-year history.
Women often tend to ask themselves, well, am I qualified to do this?
The story of Democratic House Speaker Sarah Gideon's entry into politics is similar to Volk's. A voicemail message looking for a candidate to fill a seat on the Freeport Town Council. That message was for her husband, Ben.
I remember thinking to myself immediately, there's no way that Ben's running for the town council, but I think I'd be interested in running for the town council.
As leaders of the legislature, Gideon and Volk are themselves recruiters, both dedicated to ensuring that their parties either hold or improve their positions after the November election. And women candidates are often their first choice. There are over 137 women running for the Maine legislature this year, a number that shatters the previous record of 116 nominees set 12 years ago. The Senate GOP has nearly a dozen women running for 35 seats, also a record. And Gideon has 72 female Democrats running in the 151-seat House. Recruiting women has been a focus for the Democratic Party for several years, an effort bolstered by the group Emerge Maine, which not only finds prospects, but also trains them. But Gideon says that even with that organizational horsepower, it has sometimes taken extra effort to convince women to run. Until now.
My choice! My body, my choice!
My body, my choice!
My body, my choice!
My body, my choice!
My body, my choice!
Gideon says the election of Donald Trump, whose approval rating among women voters is decidedly underwater, and sexual misconduct scandals have energized women to run for office. And she says women have replaced questions about their political qualifications with positive declarations.
Yes, I'm qualified. And not only that, but I actually need to be there. It's imperative that I have a seat at this table. It's imperative that I'm one of the decision makers.
Democrats are hoping this new energy and engagement favors them in November. not just in congressional races, but in the states as well. That includes the four-way contest for Maine governor. Earlier this week, at an endorsement event by Planned Parenthood, Democratic Attorney General Janet Mills sought to frame her lead rival, Republican Sean Moody, as just as dangerous to a woman's right to an abortion and reproductive health as President Trump and his Supreme Court pick, Brett Kavanaugh.
And I have got news for President Trump and for Sean Moody. If you want to roll back the rights of Maine women, if you want to come after Planned Parenthood and the critical services they provide to Maine people, you're going to have to get through me first.
Some observers have suggested that women voters could turn congressional and state races in favor of Democrats in November. But the data aren't clear. A recent Suffolk University poll of the Maine governor's race showed what many political scientists refer to as a gender gap. Nearly 50% of female voters favored Mills, while just under 30% supported Moody. Andy Smith, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center, says women are historically more likely to vote for Democrats. And that might explain surveys that show higher enthusiasm among Democratic voters in general.
Right now, it seems like Republicans are trudging to the polls where Democrats are running to the polls.
But Smith cautions against drawing conclusions beyond that. Women may indeed fuel the blue wave election that Democrats have been talking about this year. But as University of New England student Marissa Laramie noted at the recent event for Janet Mills, Democrats may need more voters to make that wave a tsunami.
Into the high schoolers who are turning 18 or will be 18 in the next few months, we need your vote.
Yeah. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Friday, August 31st, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.